views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm very excited because we just launched our conference website yesterday. It's up and running. You can go check it out and see what all the different offerings we have. Just go to womenofwisdom.org, womenofwisdom.org, and everything is individually priced. So you can just come for a day. You can come to one of our intensive workshops. You can come for an evening. And if you're not from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle's a great place to be in February. It's not as cold and wintry as other parts of the country. So I invite you to check that out and come to Seattle February 12th through the 16th. And I am interviewing more conference presenters. That, you know, we get such a wonderful group of women who are experts or leaders in their field. And my two guests today are Dr. Franca Baroni and Iarla Khalsa. So first we're going to talk to Dr. Franca Baroni. She's an award-winning author, speaker, awareness guide, actress, and practicing immigration attorney. She holds a doctorate and master's in law. She's passionate about inspiring people, even nations, to embrace a radically new system of governance and law moved by heart intelligence. Her book on governance, Core Publicum, The Evolution of Res Publica, is being recognized by some readers as a masterpiece and as the most important book of political philosophy of our new century. And on her unconventional journey, Franca discovered what she calls Cor Publicum, the public heart in Latin. And Cor Publicum reintroduces the heart as the governing principle in collective engagement and the foundation of our social contract, law, and other governing systems. So we're going to find out how Cor Publicum is helping us stop the perennial fight for justice, freedom, and peace. And Frank is giving a workshop on Sunday morning, February 15th, entitled Collective Heart Intelligence Through Feminine Wisdom. And you can check out her website and her books and everything at her website, www.heartgovernance.org. So welcome, Franca.
Oh, well, thank you, Chris, for inviting me to your show. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us about what inspired you to write about governance and even what the title means. Like, these are they sound like lawyer terms to me, and maybe they're not, but it kind of throws me for a loop. Okay, Cor Publicum. Okay. Res Publica.
Well, I mean, you already said it, that, you know, Cor Publicum in Latin means in the public heart. And I want to first, address how I came about it. I mean, I started to, when I went to law school, I went in with a deep desire in my heart to make a difference in bringing justice to the world. This good intention that I think many law students have when they start, and it's very, very quickly that turned into a realization that was like almost like naive, wishful thinking that, you know, the world, it is what it is, and we can't really make much of a difference, and the laws are what they are. And there's a part of me that accepted that, and a part of me also that did not accept that, and continued to feel there was something that we could do, form of governance and the ways we're seeing law that would generally bring the experience of justice and freedom in the world. I didn't know how to do a glide. It was a long journey. The bottom line, a couple of years ago, I finally found that key into this system of governance and law that was stored in my heart. And I basically went through a very unusual academic process, and instead of studying the topic, I decided to simply listen to my heart. And that's how the book came about, and even the word combination of core publicum came about. And I found that was, for me, it was important, because what I was, presenting to the world with my writing was to that we all listen to our heart wisdom as a new way of governing ourselves. And so I felt it was an integrity for me to write the very book by following the process that I was proposing. Again, this was a very long journey, because I had my lawyer mind that fought that. I said, "Wow, you can't do that." I'm glad I did.
Well, tell us a little more about this core publicum, how that can help us stop that perennial fight for justice and freedom and peace.
Core publicum, I call this the evolution of res publica, which is the public thing, and that's where the word republic comes from. It's from res publica. Currently we have a system that it's what I call the mind-based system. If we take the analogy of a body, we basically have a system that operates exclusively from the brain, and that looks at life in a mechanistic way. And it's also because our brain are based on survival, and based on the fight. On an internal fight, it's just part of what the mind is, and to a certain degree. And with core publicum is really an invitation to open the way we govern, to open that headspace and really open it down to our whole collective body. So seeing. Us, what we're creating in our society, we are a collective body that right now is operating from the head, and so the invitation is to really include in very practical and tangible ways the heart as the pulsating and guiding force that informs us how to relate to each other, how to govern ourselves in individual, in our lives, in our work, in the way we relate to, any groups who are engaged, because one of the fundamentals of what I call core publicum is really there's no separation between who we are individually and who we are collectively. They're one of the same. And in our current system, we kind of split our individual and collective self, and that's why we delegate power. That's why we express our engagement in the world basically simply by going to vote. And that's where it stays for many. That's where it is limited to. And so it's an invitation to really expand our awareness into what we choose each and every day. It has a direct impact on the health of our collective body. And so what I'm describing in my book, besides, the very shortly what the old agreements, collective agreements that we have, what are the new agreements and how, and really an invitation to embody those. Because it is in the heart that freedom and justice and happiness, I mean, that's found in the heart. And we have created a system that has cut out the very source from where justice emerges. And that's why we have been chasing for such a long time freedom and justice. And it's kind of this very predictable self-made misery that we have created. And I think we're all so ready, and it's already happening. So this corpobligum is not like a thing of the future. It's pulsating and wanting to breathe through our own hearts every moment.
Yes, I think we're seeing it, you know, in individuals and some organizations. I think for us, it's harder to see it in our government. And how do we bring about that change of bringing heart to that? If you think about movies or movements that spur us to that feeling of freedom and justice, there's always a heart connection to it. And we can get that. But then when you get in the system, the governmental system, we seem to lose it.
Yes, that's very true. And that is exactly the whole point of it. As the corpobligum, this change will not happen and cannot happen to our current system, because our current system are mind-based. So it's almost like trying to eat soup with a knife. It just doesn't work, and it's ineffective. So there's really for this change to continue to happen, like a world based on respect for life and heart wisdom, it's not a formal process in the government. I really feel like we are embracing our collective responsibility in our daily life and connect to core public through the public heart and let that pulsate through us.
Yeah, well, that's we're going to have and yeah. We'll have to get back to that after this break. This is Chris Danis. We're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more about this topic with Dr. Franca Baroni.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
We're excited about Galeo's Cafe and Galeo's dressings. All of the flavoring comes from a family tradition and recipe. And secondly, from people that love to bring to the table, literally bring to the table, what I grew up with, and that is a lot of love and delicious ingredients. And when I first discovered them, it was about 6 or 7 years ago. And what I loved about them was not only are they gluten-free, but they're made from some of the, you know, most incredible natural ingredients. And more importantly, I just want to say is for many of us, low fat and sugar. I mean, no sugar. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here.
Order your dressing today. Visit GaleosCafe.com. That's GaleosCafe.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm here with Dr. Franca Baroni. She's one of our presenters at Women of Wisdom, and we're talking about her topic, which is, you know, we love this topic of trying to find it now, the collective heart intelligence through feminine wisdom. And so we've been talking about this heart intelligence, this, you know, you were sharing how, you know, it's hard in our system that we have of government to bring that heart in, but it's really the individuals. And as we change individually, it changes the collective consciousness, and it moves, can then move. We're moving in that direction. It's just kind of slowly, but we're doing that. So we were just sharing about that. But I want to then move it to, we have this heart intelligence, but where does the feminine wisdom play into that? Because as we know, from my point of view, and my audience has heard it all along, of that feminine wisdom being so important, of the balance, of needing that to balance the masculine wisdom, if you want to call it that, the feminine, the masculine, having that balance, and how we so need that feminine perspective. And so what's your take on that, Franca?
Yeah, I absolutely, the feminine wisdom is essential. And I really want to make the distinction between feminine, when I say feminine wisdom, I don't necessarily say it's a gender, because feminine, it's a gender issue, because the feminine is an energy that needs to be held, or it's held both by men and women equally. And I think as women, we have more easily access to it. And in this shift into a world governed by hard wisdom, the feminine has an essential role, because it's really by allowing the heart into the way we govern, we're really allowing the qualities of the feminine. And one of the qualities of the feminine is how we relate to the unknown, how it's the ability to be what I call it, the dark womb, where we don't necessarily know. It's the place of no form, but it's also the place of creation, where the seed gets implanted and where the seed grows, and it's the place of unlimited potential. And so so it's really an invitation of how are we able to let go of our addiction to prediction and our need to control, and really surrender our lives to the unknown, and allow from that place of the darkness and the unknown for new forms of governance that are sustainable to emerge. And that is really the womb of wisdom. And as women, we can, it's important that we cultivate that place, because I think women and men are equally, you know, programmed programmed to mistrust that place of not knowing, because we always want to, oh, so tell me what to do, step one, step two, step three. And that keeps us locked into the status quo, because it's really in those moments where we don't know that the very often the solutions that are able to solve complex situations can emerge. And so feminine wisdom is absolutely essential. And so it's also the ability to feel, because what we, you know, what we've done in our current systems, we have basically eliminated feelings as basically like a virus in a computer. Okay, feelings are not allowed or have no credibility and no legitimacy in informing our decision. And so in core publicum is really an invitation to bring feelings as a way to inform our decision in honoring them, because we are, as a society, we're and women too, we're so used to, we all have feelings. We are so programmed to numb them, and especially when we engage in a group or in politics or whenever, it's like the feelings of, let's put them aside and just deal with them in our closet. And feelings are very much part of how we relate, and the ability to relate with transparency with the feelings and integrating the heart and let that inform our choices. It's fundamental to have a really a living a collective body that is then also reflected in the forms of governance that we are creating.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we're on a, it's a great path, and it's a long road ahead, and you know, we're seeing it happening around in certain circles. And I wonder what advice you have for people who are in charge, who are leaders, whether you're a politician or you're an executive of a company and you want to make that switch. And there is fear around that, because you kind of, especially if you're an executive and you're in the usual, you know, corporate mode, it's not, feelings aren't always allowed or accepted, or that feminine voice isn't. And so that fear comes up of, how will I be accepted if I bring this up? If I really, you know, it takes a brave and it's courageous person to step forward and say, okay, we're going to make this shift, and to make those shifts in our corporations.
Absolutely. Courage, you know, as we know, courage, the word courage comes from the heart, and that's essential. It takes a lot of boldness to really step into that vulnerable field. My because the heart is a vulnerable field, because the very first thing you find in the heart is not the joy and happiness and hope is good. So very often we find feelings that are not comfortable. So my invitation to, you know, those in charge, and again, I would just even say we are all in charge, and we all have power. Those that have chosen a specific form of how to express their leadership, and an invitation to first to get acquainted with core publico. I feel in my book there is a lot to breathe in and to get inspired and to see the corporation, to see the government, whatever you're engaged with, to see that as a collective body, and see that as a collective body, and as if you're running a or organization, to really encourage the wisdom. First start with your own practice of tapping into your heart and heart wisdom, and then tapping into the heart of the organization, and include and see everybody that's part of the organization, invite their heart wisdom to the table, so that it really becomes, whatever choice is done is becoming a heart informed choice. And which benefits the health of the whole group and corporation. And that, again, requires a moment of requires some practices and requires some like going into stillness, going into vulnerable field of what we want like to hide and be transparent about that. And as leaders, I think I find the nicest quality of a leader is to really be able to share and own their vulnerabilities. And that's what I feel is our direct way into the heart, into the public heart, and to see that as a strength and see that as a way for a new opening. Because it's when we're vulnerable, we're in that place where we really don't know, we're not sure. And that space, that moment, that space, that it very often where a new solution that is way more sustainable can emerge. So anyway, that's what I want to say now.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, an important point of the being vulnerable. And Brené Brown has talks about that, and you're hearing more of that. That it's, you know, you can relate to a leader when someone speaks and they show their vulnerability. It allows them to be human. It allows people to see, oh, they're like me. You know, to put people on a pedestal and they have to be perfect is a huge burden for leaders, and then scary. It makes it scary for people to be vulnerable in front of a group of people because they're, you know, the risk of being shot down or judged for their vulnerabilities. And yet it really shows their humanity and the similarities between everybody in the room, because we all have these vulnerabilities, and to hide them isn't truthful.
Yes. And we do that so often, and we do that even in very evolved circles. You know, it's just a habit, because there's kind of this fundamental shame about being human. And so an important part is really to fully embrace our humanity and in the full acceptance of our vulnerability and humanity and all the violence and all the dysfunction we have created, along with all the amazing advancements that we have created. That really brings you into greater wholeness. And again, it's not something necessarily will take years and years. It's really available now, because in the awareness of the heart, there's really no time.
Yeah,
it's the mind,
so
it's always a step removed.
Yeah, so it is now. We do it now. Well, check out Franca's website, heartgovernance.org, and check out our workshop at Woman of Wisdom. Just go to womanofwisdom.org and look for the 2015 conference. So this is Chris Stainis, and we will come back and be talking with Yara Khalsa when we come back.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
If you look on the back of a Galeos dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GaleosCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GaleosCafe.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I am going to be talking with another wonderful woman of wisdom presenter, Ilara Khalsa. And before I do that, I want to remind people that is the kind of the last call, or almost the last call, yeah, for our temple, which we have body workers, healers, psychic tarot readers, and the application deadline is November 21st. And you can get all the information and application forms on our website at womanofwisdom.org and just look for the 2015 conference. So getting back to Ilara Khalsa, she created a homestead, a biodynamic farm in Mount Shasta. And she created a company of essential blends called Flower of Life. And she's a person who's moved by nature and what it shares with us and understands what it means to be human with a larger community of creatures. She's intent on saving the honeybees and built a bee sanctuary and also is head of their bee guild down there. And she is passionate about teaching others about gardening and connecting that to your soul. She found that not only was she learning how to farm, grow plants, and care for animals, she was remembering and learning how to grow her spirit. So she's been communicating and asking her garden for guidance and partnership. And she's going to be sharing that information with us today. She's giving a workshop on Sunday evening, February 15th. It's also our evening workshops are Sunday are open to men. And the topic is plant intelligence, plant immunity. She's also going to have a booth at our marketplace with her essential oils. So welcome, Ilara.
Thank you, Chris. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Yeah, well, first tell us about what inspired you to move from a city to creating a farm.
Yes, actually, this has been going on for about 10 years, you know, in living in a city as a conscious parent and, you know, purchasing your organic foods, et cetera, because you're a mother and you want to give the best to your children. It became very obvious to us that, you know, things progressively got harder. You continue to hear about our food system and our food supplies not being so pure and not so healthy. And so it became apparent to me that in order to really get the food that nurtures not only your body but your spirit, I needed to learn how to grow it myself. And so we looked for years and we were guided and, you know, miraculously, magically, moved to Mount Shasta and we picked the land, you know, to fulfill our spiritual and physical needs to grow our food and have pristine source of water in a community of like-minded people.
That's great. And that I would imagine was quite a shift and probably took some adjusting to get used to.
Yes, took an adjustment. You know, one is inspired by the impulse to create this dream, and the realities of it are quite intricate and complex, you know, from owning your house in a city and not having to deal with your water and your trash because they're picked up for you, to living in a place where you're not within a city limit, that you're in a county where there's bears, there's wild cats, you know, you have your own well, you know, and things are different. And I started to realize that, you know, how disconnected we are when we live in a city from the most basic things, which is self-sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were to summarize the gifts that you get from becoming a farmer, what's the most important thing that you've learned?
Oh, my gosh. honestly, you know, I came here really thinking that I was going to grow my food and I was going to get my own eggs and all of that. But really what I received was so much more. I chose biodynamic agriculture because it really touches upon the spiritual nature of the plants and the animals and ourselves and the interconnection of each other and how to really bring that spiritual quality into your food. So in many ways, you know, I can tell you that the biggest thing that I've learned is to become a really humble observant, not only in my garden, you know, sitting there trying to understand how to communicate with the plants, how can I help them to be the best. And the same with the animals here in the farm. But I was really deeply touched that eventually after a year of working in the farm and the garden, I began to hold that space with people, a place where there's no judgment, there's no criticism, there's no, I'm going to try to fix you, there's no, like, I'm feeling uncomfortable because I know you're in pain and I'm trying to fix it so that I don't feel that. It totally dropped away. So the biggest gift that I received was to actually be present. And it moves me every time because I can really deeply connect with people in a way that I couldn't before.
And so the plants, in a way, taught you, because, you know, a flower doesn't judge you.
Exactly.
No, and it doesn't go, gee, I wish, you know, a daisy doesn't wish they were a rose.
Exactly. You have touched upon something really important in the garden. It's from seed. The seed holds all of the instruction for that rose to become the rose, to have the stem, to have the pokies, to have the everything, to have the fragrance, to reach up from the soil to the cosmos to be what it knows it's going to be. And in many ways, it's a reflection of our humanity. We have it intrinsically inside of us. All the information is within our spirit, within our psyche, already there. And it is us unfolding in that way. And for me, personally, you know, that path really began when I became a farmer. It brought me back to that very primal reconnecting to the planet, to the earth. How do you know how to grow spinach? Oh, my God. You know, before I moved to the farm, I thought, I'm going to try to grow some food on some wine barrels. And when I realized that I had no idea on even the most basic knowledge of soil, it made me realize that we have been deeply uprooted from that connection that was intrinsically within us from the beginning.
Yeah, we are very disconnected. But then you called your farm a biodynamic farm. Yeah. And so why did you choose that? And how is that different from organic farming, which we're all very familiar hearing about and more people buying organic foods?
Yes. I praise the organic farmers because it's a very difficult process to become certified, and they're making it more and more difficult. It requires money. And that's one of the things a farmer never has an excess of, is money. So biodynamic is a step, if I may say it, a step up from organics. Why? Because in biodynamic agriculture, we do not use any kind of pesticides, whether they're organic or not. We do not use any kind of insecticides. Everything in biodynamic agriculture must be made within the farm and its organism. So let's just say that I have a problem with pests in my dome, and I have lots of aphids. So what I do is I create manures from my own plants that I grow. For example, you know, vitamin B12 shot to nature is stinging nettle. And, you know, I grow it, I take it off, I put it in cold water, I stir it every day with some great positive thoughts, and at the end of 2 weeks, it becomes one of the most potent things you can put on your garden to give life, to prevent, you know, problems in your garden, to give immunity to your plants. It brings back a dead plant, I tell you. I've seen it done miracles out there. It's fantastic. And so the biodynamic agriculture really focuses on that type of healing. Biodynamic agriculture, it's a planting according to the planets and the constellations. There are certain constellations of planets that benefit roots. So that's the week where you want to plant your onions. That's the week where you want to plant your garlics. You know, there's planets that affect the flower. That's a week for your flowers. Or there's planets that affect fruit or seed. And so this is really nothing new. This is like the ancestral way of doing agriculture. So we're using the constellations to harvest and plant so that when you do harvest, you harvest on the days where the plant has the most therapeutic properties. So you are harvesting healing food.
Healing what?
Healing foods. You're harvesting a plant that is rich in its natural healing abilities and capacities, not only for our physical ailments and our physical health, but also for our spiritual health. So biodynamic agriculture differs greatly in that way. In biodynamic agriculture, you know, you're not supposed to say, cut the horns on your sheep or your goats. Why? Because we believe that the animals were made perfectly the way they are. And that it is the intention and the consciousness of the farmer that really gears it towards that harmony and facilitation of handling the animals. We do not use antibiotics or medicines of the kind in the animals. Everything is done herbal. There is a great deal of information on how to keep your animals healthy without the use of Western medicine. So biodynamic agriculture really gears towards that natural way of doing it. And there is much, much information on that. And it's incredible because it gears one not only to work with nature as it was intended, but in the process of that, one becomes part of that organism of the farm. Everything is interconnected. The farmer intrinsically connected to everything.
Well, you're really talking about, you know, holistic farming, and it's just like, it's fascinating to me. I think you need to write a book, because my guest last week was Chinese astrology and feng shui together, and you've got, you know, astrology and farming together, you know, because it's fascinating. And we've gone so far away from that to we don't know those things anymore. And so, you know, I applaud you for working on that. I want to tell people about to go to your website is www.flowerofLifeEssentialBlends.com. flowerofLifeEssentialBlends.com. We're going to take a break now. We'll come back and talk more with Ilara Khalsa.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Ilara Khalsa. And Ilara, I just think it's fascinating what you're doing. And a couple of questions I have that we want to talk about. I mean, one is, it's such a hard, I think, you know, listening to you, such a hard thing to do to keep it so totally biodynamic of, you know, knowing what your plants need and the risk of losing plants because maybe you haven't found the right herbal remedy for a plant and how you manage that.
Yeah, you know, the first year I was so type A, you know, I was trying to do everything perfectly. I was trying to figure out what remedy to use for what disease. And my teacher, my master teacher in biodynamics, Harold Hooven in Sacramento, once told me, you know, it's like, it's not about fixing the pest, because I think I pestered him literally with thousands of questions about all types of remedies. And he said, it is not about fixing the pest. If you have a pest in the garden, it's because that is showing you that the health of the plant is not 100%. A pest is a symptom. It's a secondary show of something is not balanced and in harmony in your garden. What that is comes from the biodynamic approach, in my opinion, you know, which is a very spiritual one. You know, we cannot come to our garden as I know, I'm the doer, I'm the creator. You know, in anthroposophy and in biodynamics, you come to the garden as an observer. I want to learn. Please teach me. I have forgotten. And honestly, it was so deep in my heart. I came in with such a humble heart. Please teach me. I really want to know. And I sat there listening to the plants, and eventually you kind of sense, oh, it's too much water. I overwater, and the aphid showed up the next day. Or, you know, my leaves are going yellow on this, and it's like, oh, maybe it's a deficiency in a mineral. What did I not put into my compost? It really allows us to become that multisensory human. We have shut down many of our senses, our intuitions, our knowings when we live in cities because we are so bombarded by the overwhelming stimulation that's around us. We have to survive. Farming really brings out this opportunity to turn them back on, to use that perception, to use that knowing, to use that guidance, to really allow yourself to wake up again to who we truly are, which is an empowered human being. In relationship with a plant or with a goat or with a dog or with a cat, you know, and in that relationship, that reflection, you know, comes about. I've experienced many, many beautiful exchanges in that way here in the farm that I could have never, ever thought they were possible. So it's a very humbling experience to wake up to that.
Yes, I do. I want to encourage you to write a book. You have so many experiences to talk about, and we can all learn from that. And I'm sure many of us, you know, we have, even for in the city, we often have a space for a garden somewhere. Well, you are, I want to let the audience know, you are the farmer. You're doing it yourself. So you are a woman farmer. And what are your challenges as a woman and a mother, homeschooling and everything? What are your challenges of being a woman farmer?
Yes. Well, you know, at the beginning, I didn't even think that there was going to be a difference farming. And farming through a woman's perspective is very different than a man's. And I said that because at the beginning, I partnered up with a man. And right now, as a woman, you know, we have such an innate intuition an innate knowing. We are multitaskers by birth in many ways and capacities. And so running many things at the same time, it is very intrinsically feminine. However, you know, labor, working by putting fences, grabbing a goat by the horns because he got in the barn and he's eating all the straw or all the alfalfa, it requires a great deal of energy and power that we do have innately within ourselves. I mean, after all, we do give birth, many of us, after 36 hours of pushing a baby out. But, you know, in many ways, you know, there is, I noticed that there wasn't the right equipment for women out there until recently. I cannot hold a shovel for more than an hour, especially if it's made for a man, you know. And so I began to notice these discrepancies in farming where the tools, the everything is made for a man that can hold enough weight in the arms. And, you know, I'm a strong woman, but my arm, you know, power is limited. You know, I cannot put a fence by myself. I have to hire someone or someone has to help me, and mostly a man. So it is something like that, you know, we're waking up to the fact that now there are companies that make farming tools for women, specifically for women, so that you can work with a shovel for 5 hours without tiring after the first one. You know, forks, you know, and other kinds of machinery that's made for us. Community. I would say the hardest thing is doing it alone. And in many ways, becoming a farmer has pushed me outside of my comfort zone to become part of the community, which I wasn't before. Meeting other farmers, meeting other women farmers, meeting people who have done it for 40 years and have an open heart and they see you learning and struggling, and they are happy to help you. They're happy to teach you because there's not enough of us out there picking it up. There's less and less people interested in farming and less, you know, older folks that can hand it to their next generation. Yet there is now an awakening in the young, I see it more so in the 20s, you know, the young people coming up with a deep and heartful interest in wanting to learn to reconnect again. So there's hope, but otherwise it is community. As a woman farming alone, you have to have a community. You have to have those work parties, you know, to put all the hay in the barn and meet other people like you and really reconnect to that, which was very old and is getting lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you're talking about what, no matter where we are in life, we need to get back to, we can't do it alone. And then we need community. And I think, you know, not even just farmers, you know, wherever we are, it's that reaching out to not, you know, we can become so isolated and think we have to figure it all ourselves, and that shame of I wasn't able to figure it out myself, and so you don't ask and all that. It's just great messages for all of us.
Yeah, that's my hope. You know, I was so delighted to know that I was going to be on the show, because really, truly, I was thinking, what can I share that can be of service to anyone listening out there? I want to inspire you. I want to inspire you to plant a garden, no matter where you live, even in the city, even if it's not your property, even if you're going to move. Don't do it for anyone but yourself. You can grow a kale in a pot. It does great. You can touch that leaf every day and look at it with awe and wonder and expectation. That plant is going to receive everything you give it. If you touch it, all of that oil from your hand, your DNA, everything that contains all the information about what your body needs, goes into that plant. The plant will then receive it, and it will start growing things that are going to support you. So yeah, you can grow one kale plant, one tomato plant, one spinach, one lettuce, whatever it is, in a pot, in your garden, in your balcony, in the kitchen window. Have the experience to reconnect. You don't need a farm. Yeah. You just need the willingness to really become that observer, to really open your heart humbly and want to know, teach me, please. And it will be right there. That's us taking back our power, a power of knowing, our power of co-creating with nature once again.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ilara, for, you know, bringing this to us, this wisdom of the plants, and I'm sure you've inspired many people now. So it was great to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
Yep. And be sure to check out her website, flowerofLifeEssentialBlends.com. And check out A Woman of Wisdom. She's going to be doing a workshop on this very topic. So that is going to be February 15th in the evening. And so go look at our website at womanofwisdom.org. Also, I have a special announcement. I'm honored to share that Dr. Pat, who's the the mother of this Transformation Talk Radio Network, she's nominated me for a leadership award. It's going to be at the Global Women's Summit. It's held in Bellevue, November 22nd, just another week away. And I have been given the opportunity to give an invitation for you to join me there. There is a code that I can give you to register for free. It's an all-day women's summit at the Meydenbauer Center. And just email me at womanofwisdom.org for the code, and that will get you in this amazing day for free. And I'm honored to receive that award. It's very humbling. And I also have my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. And that is a compilation of many things that has transpired at our conference, great stories, divine feminine inspiration from many diverse viewpoints, and art and poetry. And so you can purchase that on our website as well. Don't forget, if you're a healer or reader, to apply to be in our temple. And check out on the website all the offerings we have for the conference. And there are featured guests who are Jean Shinoda Bolen. All these I've interviewed on my show, Patty Conklin and Penny Pierce. There are special discounts until the end of the year. And you're going to want to check that out to get an early bird price. And please visit my website at chrysalisleadership.com and find out how you can unleash the powerful leader within you. And perhaps you'd be interested in an empowerment circle for women, or even a course in circle leadership. Well, next week I'll be interviewing two more of our Woman of Wisdom guests, author Deborah Annapole and artist Lynn Creighton. So everybody have a great weekend, and I will be back with you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen.
listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety is in many ways a learned behavior, which is rooted in our childhood. During our early years, when we are the most dependent on others, negative feedback, judgment, or ridicule infiltrate our subconscious mind and leave us wondering whether we are really safe, lovable, or good enough. In response, a part of our mind develops protective strategies to keep us from getting hurt. Let's imagine that the anxiety you've been battling with stems from the part that has assumed the job of keeping you safe. Doesn't it then make sense that your anxiety makes you expect the worst, so that you are prepared, keeps you on your toes to avoid failure, or shames and belittles you before someone else can do this to you? When you consider the source of your anxiety as a vulnerable child that just tries to keep you safe, you no longer feel that you're the victim of your own mind, but instead are more easily able to take on the role of the caring, reassuring adult.